Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adores.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song.
His praise.
Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let them praise his name with dancing.
Making melody to him with tambourine.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adores the humble.
Let the godly exult in glory.
Let them sing for joy of their
merits. Let the high praises of God be in their throats.
And two-edged swords in their
hands. To execute vengeance on the nations. To bind their kings with chains,
and their nobles with fetters of iron.
To execute on them the judgment written. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. We now confess the common faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. What is heaven going to be like? That's one of those questions that I get asked fairly frequently, whether it's in youth group or Bible study or lots of places. It's one of the big curiosities that we have. And part of the reason for that is it's natural, I would say, to be curious about what happens after we die. But, unfortunately, the Bible does not give us all the answers that we want. It only gives us the answers that we need. So, we don't know a lot about heaven, but we do know a little bit. And our text for today, our epistle reading from 1 John, gives us a fair bit of info. But first, maybe before we talk about what we know heaven is going to be like, we should start with what we know heaven isn't going to be like. And maybe the first thing that we should point out is that heaven is not going to be permanent. What do I mean when I say that? I think even Christians sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that when we go to heaven, that we're going to be in heaven forever. But that's not actually what the Bible talks about. The Bible says that when we die here on earth, we will go to be in heaven with Jesus. But that when Jesus returns on Judgment Day, he will bring all of the saints in heaven down with him and will raise everyone from the dead. And that then, after that, we will go into the new creation together. So, heaven is not actually permanent. In fact, Jesus talks about how the heavens and the earth will be destroyed after Judgment Day as part of making the new creation. So then, what else do we know about what heaven, and we can kind of fit the new creation in with this as well, is going to be like. Well, it's not going to be what your current ideal vacation is. It's always fun, you know, because when people ask me what heaven's going to be like, one of the things that I'll usually do is I'll ask them, well, what do you think heaven's going to be like? And we get all sorts of interesting answers when we ask that question. Usually, what I'll hear is that someone will give me, like I said, kind of what their current ideal vacation would look like. If they imagine their perfect day as being one where they're going out on the golf course, then that's what they're going to kind of imagine heaven's like. If they think it's going to be going skiing, it's that. If they think it's going to be fishing, it's that. If they think it's just staying at home and resting, they'll often think of that as being what heaven is going to like. They'll tell me what they like most right now. Though maybe occasionally, and this is more frequent as a person gets older, they'll start talking to me about the people that they're going to see in heaven. And of course, that mostly means their loved ones who have gone before them in the faith. But one of the interesting things that happens when you ask someone what they think heaven will be like is that rarely do they speak of God in heaven. And even more rarely will they talk of Jesus in heaven. And the reason for that is because our own sinful nature has infected even what we think heaven should be like. We have turned heaven into sort of like this ideal paradise that's been personalized for us. And that's not quite the picture that we get about heaven or the new creation. Instead, the picture that we get is actually a whole lot closer to that we get personalized for heaven. But maybe we'll get into that here a little bit later. One of the most important things to talk about here, as we are talking about heaven, is to recognize the wonderful truth that it has been earned for you. Recognize that even though heaven is too good for us, even though we now can barely get a glimpse of it in the scriptures, even though we forget who the most important person in heaven is, you are free to believe the truth that that person died to earn your place in heaven with him and your place in the new creation after the last day. That's part of the truth of heaven, part of the wonder of heaven, part of what we know about heaven is that it's not up to us to earn it. It has already been earned for us. And so we move into our text for today. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Do you want to know exactly how the Father loves you? Do you want to know exactly how God views you? Even to an extent, do you want to know what the will of God is for you? It is that you should be called the children of God. And so you are. God doesn't want you to just be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't want you to just be some random guy on the street. He wants you to be his children. You are not just a citizen of the kingdom, you are royalty in the kingdom. That is the love that the Father has given to you. That he has called you his children. And recognize how God creates things. Remember this. How did God create things at the beginning of time, at the beginning of creation? He spoke them into being. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so if he looks at you and he says, "You are my child," then you are his child. Because he has spoken it. Because he has declared it. And because his word makes that reality. You are not just called his children. You are his children. And so, because of that, recognize that it just makes sense that this world, this earthly kingdom, doesn't know us. Why in the world would it know us when we are foreigners to this world? When our home is with our Father in heaven and in the new creation? That is why the world rails against the church. It knows that we are foreigners. And in fact, if you look at the book of Romans, we're not just foreigners, we're actually invaders. When we are here, we are, in fact, waging war. We are more than conquerors, even. Because, you see, as we live our lives here in this world, our God is working through us to claim more and more people for his kingdom. More and more sons and daughters who will be with him in his kingdom in eternity. And by claiming them for himself, he is taking them away from the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. And he does all of this through the love of Jesus. St. John continues, "Beloved, we are God's children now." This is your reality. Right now, you are a child of God. But, as John continues, "what we will be has not yet appeared." And here's where we start to get some of the details about what we might be like in heaven and in the new creation. John's making it fairly clear here that we are going to be different, but how are we going to be different? Well, let's look and see what John tells us here. "We know that when he appears, we shall be like him." All right, that's a detail there. So, when he appears, that is to say, on the last day, so this is talking more about what we're going to be like in the new creation versus what we'll be like in heaven, that when he comes, we're going to be like him, that is Jesus. And the best place to probably think about this is think about Jesus after he rose from the dead, because that's what it's going to be like for us. This will be after we are raised from the dead. So then, if you want a good idea about what we might be like, a good place to look would be in the last parts of the Gospels, after Jesus rose from the dead, particularly in Matthew, Luke, and John. Mark doesn't have a lot about Jesus after he was raised from the dead. Here's just a few examples that show up and that I think is important to note. First off, he was recognizable. When Jesus rose from the dead, the people recognized him, eventually. There's a couple of times where it seems like they're almost so surprised and so shocked that they don't. But then as soon as he speaks, they recognize him. So maybe more than anything, they'll recognize your voice. But not only was he recognizable, but he had a body, a physical body. There are several times at the end of the Gospels where Jesus will actually ask people for food, and he'll eat among them. And the reason that he's doing this is to show them that he's not a ghost. He's not a spirit. Ghosts and spirits can't eat food. But Jesus did. And then, even more than that, you all, of course, remember the story of Doubting Thomas, or I vastly prefer calling him Believing Thomas, but that's a story for when we have that text. Thomas reached forward and could touch him. You remember the story of Martha? Or was it Mary Magdalene? I can't remember. It was either Mary Magdalene or Martha. When Jesus rose from the dead, she clung to his feet, and she could actually touch him. He had a body. Those are kind of some of the more grounded things, but and this one's a little bit more speculation-based, but it seems like doors and windows are somewhat optional for Jesus after he's raised from the dead. I don't know if that's how it'll be for us, but it's definitely how it was for him. But perhaps the most important detail that John gives us in our text for today is that we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. This is the biggest thing. And I think this is particularly the biggest thing for us, who are 2,000 years separated from when Jesus was walking on the earth. We shall see him. We shall see him as he is. We ourselves will be able to see his body. We ourselves will be able to reach out and cling to him. We ourselves, when we see him, we're going to see him in his fullness. We shall be able to behold the fullness of the God who died for us. And we'll be able to know him for exactly who he is. One of the ways that we talk about this is that there will be a day when your faith is no longer required. And the reason for that is because you'll be able to see him. You won't have to believe in him because you'll be able to see him. You'll be able to know him. And most importantly, he will know you. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is our hope. Our hope is not in some kind of fanciful paradise or vacation that we've imagined for ourselves. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is that we will be with him when we die. Our hope is that we will be with him in the new creation for all of eternity. And you are free to put your hope in Christ because he died for you. Because he has already earned this for you. Put your hope in the one who is purifying you, who comes to you even now in word and sacrament to sanctify you and to make you into the saints that you already are and who you will be fully on that day. Because one day you will see him face to face. And that is what we hope for. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.